good afternoon, all of you with your beautiful, unique brains. Welcome back. It's Ben and Addy coming at you. We are a group of ADHDers that basically five or 6 years ago got together. There she is. We just got frustrated at how there was no ADHD content for adults and stuff that was helpful. Everything was like how to look after your hyperactive kid, which is useful. But where is the good info that we can just apply straight away for ADHD adults? And so that's what we gathered together to do with ADHDers. And now, happily, we can celebrate 800,000 followers on our Instagram, which is amazing. ADHDers. Yahoo! Woohoo! Go us! And I just love being a part of the community with everyone, and the amount of stuff we've learned from each other is incredible. So today we are attacking the topic of relationships. This is our third run-through of relationships because it's the most important topic. It's the most listened-to topic we actually have. The first episode we recorded on it is the most popular one by far. And I think it's because with... With ADHD, you have so much... everyone has different symptoms that play into it, but I thought it would be worth... It's worth exploring the different aspects that we have in a relationship and how ADHD affects it. And so we have emotional dysregulation, we have how we can't talk, we sometimes can't take negative criticism, for example, you know, and it's very hard to take it because it hurts. And so we wanted to talk through what are the solutions, how can we have better conversations with our partner, how can we move out of arguments or disagreements faster and clearly without making it worse. So what do you think, Addy? Are you ready?
Maybe we talk a little bit about where we're at in our relationships, because we are actually both in
what we thought
the
we'd
same
do.
Relationships that we were, you know, two and a half years ago when we recorded that first episode, which, you know, it's a big deal for ADHDers.
Yeah. Well done, us. And I feel like I've learned a lot since we recorded those episodes. I think I've learned more how to hold space for my partner's emotion, how to allow them to experience their emotions, because I know that sometimes my partner is feeling sad or you know, moody even, and I think sometimes I think it's that it's me, but I think the more that I've allowed it to the more I've realized that she lives in her own reality and we all live in our own reality, the more I've allowed her to feel, and I think that's been really good, because I recognize within myself, maybe this is ADHD thing, maybe this is a trauma thing, but I get triggered emotionally very fast into an emotional response when my partner's just trying to share how they feel and they just need me to validate their experience. And I want to talk about more about validating your partner's experience too. Do you want to talk a bit about what you've learned in the past, 2 years since we have last did an episode on relationships?
Wow. Yeah, I think that really holds true. It's finding space for them to express how they're feeling and making a time where you can talk about it, but without it being a triggering event. So knowing, it's also about knowing yourself and making space for yourself and understanding better when you're in that red zone, as I've called it before, right? And I think I've gotten a lot better in the last couple of years of realizing when I'm in that red zone and when I need that space, and then when I'm in a place orange or green where I'm more open to hearing their side of things and not taking it so personally.
Because it almost takes a baseline level of, I recognize that I always talk about these two circles with ADHD. There is the self-doubt spiral or guilt spiral you can be in, which, you know, if you are untreated ADHD and you're new to this journey, I know that what that's like. Maybe I'm still in it from time to time, but there's this cycle where you feel like you're not, you don't understand yet how to tend to your own emotional needs or regulate down to a place of calm, to just be present. And that's, you know, I know that for a lot of ADHDers that may seem like an impossible thing, but I've seen that a lot of ADHD, like when you start learning more about ADHD, you discover these tools like exhaling slowly, for example, that help you regulate and help almost you snap out of the emotional trance, you know. I think that and I think that that tool, I think I've grown that tool in me, instead of just reacting straight away. Like, and I know how easy it is to react straight away and get all like up in a huff about it, but I think that I don't know, just expanding that gap, and I know it's hard, and I know it's a slow journey too, to just pause as much as I can before reacting emotionally, and just allowing, like, okay, that person has their own reality. And I find that maybe when there's a heated argument or heated discussion, what I kind of see inside now is there's this almost like a tank of stress, and the tolerance of stress goes up, like it's almost like my battery is draining lower when I feel like it's all to do with me, and I think, or I'm getting emotionally overwhelmed, and I've learnt to observe this battery go lower, and when it's low, I take time to regulate down. And sometimes that does mean like walking out in the middle of a heated discussion, or sometimes I just say, I'm emotionally hijacked, and that's helped a lot, actually, to be like, I am emotionally hijacked right now, and that means my emotional core is running the show, like, and that, I think, just adding that communication level to say, look, it's nothing to do with you, I am emotionally hijacked right now, has really helped diffuse the situation and say, like, hey, I'm on your team. And the more we say, like, I'm on your team, we're on this team, because I think it is a partnership. When you have ADHD, it's like you, your partner, and ADHD. And I think that seeing that as a team effort and having that discussion, I think at the beginning of, my relationship, it was almost like a shameful thing that I would bring up, like, oh, I have ADHD. And it was kind of taboo, but I think having an open, communicative discussion about it, where everything is on the table, and we just look at the situation together and be like, how can we move forward from here, rather than blaming.
Yeah, for sure.
That has been the biggest tool. Zooming out and be like, right, let's look at this. Let's just look at this. Yeah. Okay, ramble over.
Yeah, and
you share
your
something.
Your partner is neurotypical, right? So... it's kind of like we have two different sides. Like, my partner has ADHD also, and so it's this with a partner who has ADHD, I think there's this like double-edged sword of like, you feel like they should get it, but then actually, because everyone's ADHD manifests so differently, then sometimes maybe you don't. You're like, well, I don't struggle with this, and then maybe you're less forgiving. I don't know. Like, I think you're lucky in that your partner is very curious about your ADHD and wants to learn more and wants to learn how to help you, and that's like a beautiful thing that you have, because I feel like in some instances with a neurotypical partner, they maybe like don't try to understand where the ADHD partner is coming from, but I would say that for any listeners who are like partners to someone with ADHD, maybe you're thinking about dating someone with ADHD, have curiosity about how the ADHD works and how you can help, you know. That's something that I would say would help. But yeah, with my partner, it's we have different struggles. I would say like he has more impulsivity issues than I do, maybe. And that has sometimes been a cause of stress. Like, I wouldn't say necessarily a fail in a relationship, but I think, like one of the replies we got to when we asked in Instagram for people's ADHD fails, that was someone just wrote impulsivity. And that definitely can be an area, when it comes to Maybe impulsivity with going out and not telling your partner because you get caught up in the moment. And it's like, we all understand that. That it's a double-edged sword. The spontaneity side of ADHD is great. That's why we love it. We're like, oh, this person's spontaneous and wants to do fun things. But then the flip side of spontaneity is that it can sometimes leave people feeling left in the lurch. So it's learning how to follow, maybe still follow through with your spontaneous moments, because it was sometimes we don't have a choice. But it's learning how to communicate about them with your partner. Like, that saves a lot of communication in general, saves a lot of problems.
That's nice. Okay, great work there, Addy. Great work learning from your situation. I think there's so many aspects to this that I think are worth talking about. Like, I think that I asked my partner, I was like, okay, we're doing ADHD in relationships. What should I definitely talk about? And she was like, talk about emotional regulation. So what I want to dive into is like kind of like the journey me and my partner have both been on in terms of like I feel like there is this unspoken thing that our nervous systems are in these different states all the time, and it's hard to like realize we're all monkeys sometimes, and that it's not always to do with, who's right or wrong, but oh, we're both monkeys with adrenaline running through our veins because we started blaming each other and our past doesn't like being triggered. Maybe we get triggered by being shamed. I feel like that's common with ADHD because you're always feeling bad about yourself, and so I think having just like, let's say you're in an argument. Like worst comes to worst. I know we're talking about a lot about arguments, but that's a big part of ADHD in relationships. I feel like, let's say you're in an argument, and I think just changing the conversation from, you did this to me, therefore, like, I'm gonna be pissed. Instead of that, I think the communication start of, when you do this, I feel like this. This is, so when you do. That's non-blaming kind of language, When you yell at me, I feel scared. Or when you chew loudly next to my ears, my body gets on edge. For example, that's like one thing I l would like to say because my ears are really sensitive, right? And so that kind of language, instead of saying, oh, you're so annoying. Stop chewing next to me. That's very like triggering to say it in that kind of blameworthy way. But instead to say, when you do this and then put the action in there, I feel this and then put the
And then
result. And
phrasing
then
it as
it's
I
not anything
language.
to do with who their I what their identity is. Yeah, that's been humongous for me, and I've gotten a lot from that, to be honest. And we've learnt about each other. I think actually learning about each other's triggers is humongous. We all have crazy histories of these emotional imprints, and we get triggered, especially ADHDers. I get triggered when anything shameful is done on me, and like I'm sure you have your own too, and they're all weird different things. I hate
I
loud
can't be
chewing.
around a
Do
cigarette
you
smoke or
too? Is
seeing
that an
my
I don't know what that
partner
is, but it
smoke
looks like,
cigarettes.
oh, get out of
I
my,
also
it
hate
feel
loud
like they're
chewing,
chewing
yeah,
inside my
it's
head.
cut.
Oh, that's triggering for you.
Oh yeah,
That's
because for
hard.
me it's a combination of things. It's a sensory thing. Like, I hate the smell. Because for me, I have a bit of misophonia, like where sound is triggering, but for me smell is my biggest sensory issue. So like, strong perfume triggers me. Like, all any strong scent, and cigarettes are such a strong scent, so it gets right there. And then also it goes back to like, my friend in high school lied to me and told me she wasn't smoking, and I've had previous partner issues with partners who smoke. And so it's really like a thing for me. And so I actually, when we went out on my partner's birthday, he was like having, he's like, I just want to have a night. But he communicated beforehand. So this was, I think, a good instant of he communicated beforehand. On my birthday, I just want to like take part in my vices without caring about it. And I was like, okay, I want you to have fun on your birthday and not worry. So seeing
Judgment.
him smoke was triggering for me, but I then chose to instead remove myself from the situation. And I just like went and sat in the car and pat the dog for a bit. And he actually came. He's like, you doing okay? I was like, yeah, it's just like I'm not comfortable seeing you smoke, but I didn't want to say anything and make you uncomfortable. So I took myself away and I was like, I just want you to have fun. And I felt like ultimately like that the outcome of that situation was good. But yeah, it was definitely like learning what your triggers are, learning how to communicate that like it is, I'm feeling this about that, right?
Yeah, I think even communicating how we feel all the time as a habit is humongous. And I love the way Brené Brown puts it in her relationship. She says that anytime her or her partner can share how much battery they have out of 100, you know, like, oh, I'm 80, I'm 20, I'm 10%. Okay, and whoever's the lowest can help make up for it. And if you're both low, you kind of just get through it together. And then you've got the awareness, you know, if someone's on 30% or below, you don't ask them to do things. And then you're leading by your strengths. And I think that tool has really helped because they're, first of all, it gives you a constant awareness of what your battery level is anyway, which I think is very useful for us, you know, that aren't always knowing what we're feeling. And so I think talking about it, you know, makes it more of a thing that's in the forefront of our mind. We're more mindful about our energy level, and we can also function better, like because we know where each other is at. And I swear most like arguments come about when we just have mistaken where the other what the other person is feeling. And so I
Oh,
don't know.
for sure. Yeah,
That's really
like
good. Like I'd say my battery level is like 75% right now. You know, I'm not like hyped, but I feel good, you know. 75 is a good level.
Yeah. It's like I can do some shit. I could
What are
probably
those
have
dangly
a lot,
things on your
slightly difficult
sunglasses?
conversation. They are
Yes, in
disco balls.
fact,
I got them at a festival.
I love them. I love them. Look very
Oh.
funky. So talk, in fact, intense conversations that require a lot of juice and a lot of battery, I feel like those conversations are great to have when you both have high battery. Like at the end of the day, in my last
Yeah, for
like
sure.
2, 3 hours, my battery is low because that's what happens at the end of the day. And so sometimes my partner is like, oh, I need to talk to you about something very serious and important. And I'm like, oh, that's normally when I'm most low and I run out of juice and I get overwhelmed. And so I think just being like, okay, I can't
Yeah.
wait to hear this from you. I look forward to hearing these important things. Let's do it when I have more juice. That's been golden.
Yeah.
Golden.
Yeah. I have found that
So I feel like you're doing good.
scheduling time to go for a walk is a good way to have those difficult conversations because it takes it out of your personal space, which sometimes can be kind of like a place where you're feeling a high emotion and it means you're doing
Yes.
something and it makes it like intentional
Yeah.
to then be like, okay, let's go for a walk. And then that's like a good time to have those conversations. You're not forced to just sit and stare at each
I'm so
other, which
glad you
can be
brought
a
that
really
up.
hard part.
I call it, yeah. Especially if you're in freeze and you feel a bit claustrophobic, I feel like having that open, wide space, especially if it's somewhere that's beautiful, like maybe there's a hill, or like I like to, you know, go outside in nature and just go on a walk. Especially when you're not looking at each other, I think it helps for some reason. Like I'm not like overanalyzing their body language or looking for what they're really thinking rather than what they're saying. I can actually focus on what they're saying if I'm walking side by side. I've started to call them weekly check-ins, and they can definitely, or check-ins in general, to be like, hey,
yeah,
how's our relationship going? And I've found about, like, with weekly check-ins, absolutely a golden tool for the relationship, because it, and I found this workflow or formula for the weekly check-in that helps. And at the beginning, you can share, like, hey, here's 5 lovely things about you. Here's 2 great things that you've done this week that has really meant a lot to me. And then you're starting off on such a gorgeous, loving note. And it sets the tone that, hey, we are in this together. We're supporting each other. And then from there, you can say, like, hey, how is our relationship going, do you feel? And how can we improve it? And then one person gets a chance to speak uninterrupted with active listening. And then you can take it in turns. And I think that that has been a great tool for me to just, like, because I think that to change anything, you need to observe, like, where it is right now. And I think that a weekly check-in is, I don't know, you know what's going on in your relationship. You know where you missed, like, what was that that word that people used? Sometimes in relationships, people bring up this, they're trying to share their needs with you. Like, in any relationship, they're trying to elicit a reaction that shows this, like, a bonding. And that can be anything from, like, hey, can you come do the washing up? Or, hey, I need you to do this. Or, hey, I need a cuddle. And when we miss those elicitations, if that's a word, if we miss that, then it's, like, ranks down the relationship. And if we get it, it builds up a little bit more trust, a little bit more bonding, a little bit more connection. And I think relationships are built on those little moments where the need is presented we help that be fulfilled. Oh, boundaries too. My God, we need to talk about boundaries.
Oh my God, yeah. I love that, the idea of, like,
time alone,
chicken, and seeing where you're at. And and seeing... like, starting it with the positive, I think, is good. And you know, like, reaffirming things to yourself as well, like, what you are appreciating about the relationship is good. Because, like, my partner and I actually have been going through kind of a difficult time the last couple of weeks. I won't go into details, but, like, I was pretty unsure of how we were going to move forward. And actually, honestly, we are still in a point of, like, figuring out where our relationship stands, like, moving forward and what that means. And that's okay as well. Like, you can be in negotiations with someone and discussing, like, what your relationship is and what it means. But, like, on Friday, I was like, can we just, like, have a night together? Like, let's go out and have dinner and, like, have time together. We were not, like, talking about what we're, like, in this negotiation talk, you know? And I was chatting to someone about it, and they were like, yeah, I think that's really important, because for every negative reaction, you have to outweigh it with, like, 4 positive interactions. And so making time to intentionally spend positive time and focus on the positive things in your relationship, and then figuring out, you know, does this...
yeah.
Positive, like, aspects of this person outweigh the negative thing, or is that one negative thing they did actually so bad that I can't? And that's a difficult part of relationships, is figuring that out. So yeah, I think it's really important to take time to look at
the
positives in your relationship, and it's positive for the partner as well, like the ADHD especially. Yeah. To get that positive reinforcement. Oh, these are the things I do good. These are the things you like about me. Because we can so easily fall into the negative view of, like, oh, I'm a bad partner. I miss calls. I miss this. Yeah. I miss that.
Shame spiral. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like there are all these patterns. Shame spiral and upward glory spiral that I long for. Do you think that exists? But yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're having some... good conversations, you know, about I think it's hard sometimes because we have to be so honest, and we have to be honest with ourselves too. Like, what needs does this person fulfill in me? And am I just loving them because it's like, I don't know, for a reason that's not like actually real, or like, you know, like you, it's worth it's hard to be honest with yourself and be and sometimes like we want the connection so bad that it's hard to be like practical and real and just accept the situation as it is to move on. So I wanted to share, there is a Reddit thread that our producers sent to us about dating. So I really want to share with you. I made a new jingle, Addy and ADHD gang. I
Yay.
made a new jingle because we are always growing this freaking podcast. And so here you go. This is the jingle I made today about introducing the new topic. And we're about to read some things from Reddit to see if we can read into it. Maybe pick up some insights to our mind. Reading some things from Reddit. Kaboom. Yeah, so welcome to our new section. It's called Reading Some Things from Reddit. Because there is so much like insights in the community, and that's what we're all about, right? We're about like, okay, we've absorbed all the scientific information, we've absorbed all the academic information about ADHD, but like there's so much in our personal experience, and I think that should be added as a data point when we're like interacting, and therefore we're learning so much stuff, okay? So it was this day. Where is the fucking thing? Ah, do you say something, Addy, while I find this? What do you want to know?
Yeah, so, oh, I don't know. While Ben's
Okay,
looking
I found
into
it.
it, I
Great.
think,
Okay, so
okay, let's go.
here we go. How to date with ADHD? It's becoming a problem. Hello, all. Wait, I got it. Okay,
Yeah,
hello
go.
all. I, 25F, was diagnosed with ADHD many years ago. I always knew I had it. And on one hand, it makes the relationship exciting and fun, and I'm always a good time for a partner. On the other hand, oh boy. When I was younger, I used to change boys like socks, only because I got bored of them after a while, and the new person gave me a dopamine rush that I needed until I got bored of them and replaced them. Now I am in my second relationship that's growing into something serious. The guy's pure perfection and meets all my needs from a partner point of view, and in order to make it long lasting, I'm so happy with him. But I'm becoming the problem, and I'm afraid that my ADHD will ruin my relationship with him, no matter how understanding he is. The problem is that I can't see a big picture. I focus on the small details too much. And things changed when he changed his job to a more senior position and has more responsibilities to deal with. Before, we used to boost our dopamine battery all the time with being flirty and sexy. And for me, in order to feel satisfied, I need it, but I can't be selfish and I have to understand my partner's situation. I worry too much. Oh, why doesn't he want to have these exciting things too? I communicated with him and he's super understanding and willing to work on things, but I can't always be communicating and expecting things from him. I also have to do my own work, and the problem is that I can't enjoy the moment. I always crave for something that we had in the past, or I want to have, but we don't have it. So, my ADHD fellas, I have a question, and this is the core of it, I think. How do you sustain a relationship even when things change or become less exciting or just calm down? How do you find the energy to initiate things? How do I find peace with myself? Kaboom!
Ooh,
So that's the, I
I
feel,
think I relate a
yeah,
lot to
isn't that
that.
the
Like,
classic
when I
pattern?
was younger, I would change boys like socks.
Yeah, like new socks. How funny is that?
Yeah.
That's so true. I feel you. I feel you. We're always craving novelty, aren't we? And we're always craving the dopamine hit. And a lot of us love sex. A lot of us love sex all the time. And we need it all the time. And sometimes our partner's
We did a whole
sexual
episode, have a
appetite
sexologist.
isn't where we are. And I love a little bit about that because my sexual appetite is like a fucking volcano. My partner's may not be as much. And so navigating that has been a problem. And we always have to adjust, you know. Why is that such a thing in ADHD relationships? We always love new novel. We love that. Okay, when you start falling in love, I know this. It's almost equivalent to having a snort of cocaine. That's how intense
really?
Emotionally
huh. yeah.
it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and so
the,
I think that,
dopamine,
you know,
yeah.
when you first fall into a relationship, there's three patterns neurologically that happen. There's that first year and a half where you're like sexy bunnies. There's the first 2 years where it's more about being together enough to raise a child. And then there's the third type of love, which is the long-term, forever romantic love that we romanticize a lot of the time. And those are the neurological mm-hmm, patterns mm-hmm. that the brain scientists have found. There's an amazing TED Talk on it. I'll try and find it. And so I think that's interesting, right? That in ADHD, we're always craving for that hit. So how what would you say to her, Addy? Someone that always wants the new fun.
So non-monogamy is an option. No.
I swear there's so many polygamous ADHDers, man. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, I want to do a whole episode on that, and I think that's like a whole another category. Obviously, it's not comfortable for everyone to talk about.
We love sex.
But yeah, it's definitely a thing. I think finding novelty in your current relationship, so like finding ways to do new and exciting things with that same person would be my answer.
Yeah. I think that it is an art to make each day special. And I think that relationships die out when we forget that.
Mm.
It's like if we were humans and we didn't have the holidays, you know, we didn't have Christmas and we didn't have Easter, life would seem really boring. And relationships, I think, are like that too. I think you almost have to build up your, you know, fulfilling that other person's needs, communicating your needs, of course, and then you attend to those needs. But I think that there's also something to be said about making things special on purpose as an art form and making things novel on purpose. Like having a picnic in the garden instead of dinner out inside. Or lying under the stars to have that quality time together. Because I feel like sometimes in sex, we are craving, the dopamine release. But I think it's an important need to have that quality time of bonding time and making time for that. And I know, like, how can you compare mm-hmm. that to the new hit of a new dopamine hit? We have so much choice these days. You know, you can go on Tinder and get 5 new boys by the end of the day. You know, I think I don't feel like we can tame ourselves too much in a lot of ways. We are monkeys.
Yeah, and that's actually an area where I think a lot of the time ADHDers do struggle, is because of that need for novelty and wanting to like constantly have something new, and then that combined with impulsivity sometimes means that we may fall short on certain expectations or follow through with certain actions that maybe were not the best choice. I think I actually helped write a newsletter for ADHDers a couple months ago, and it was like, when you Google like ADHD partner, it was like, is my ADHD partner going to cheat on me? It was like one of the top questions asked or something. And so obviously there is like a need for novelty there. It's hard. I think, finding new things that you can do with each other within your own relationship, if you are monogamous, is a key point, or maybe it is an option to talk about. Not monogamy, I don't know.
Yeah. I think that it's from my experience with having a different libido, I think that, like, and I know this is the ADHD podcast, you have to talk about taboo things, but like, masturbation is a totally valid option for meeting your sexual needs, you know, and if your partner isn't there, you can attend to your own needs, you know, and make space for that, because we all have human needs. We all need to poop. Can you imagine if you had to, you could only poop with your partner, and then you had to like go in a room with them just to poop together? No, you just poop on your own. Oh my god. Okay, great explanation. Is there anything else you want to share, yeah. Ado?
So, we put a question out to the community asking for people's stories, like relationship wins and fails. If we did a whole episode where most of it was responding to the community's responses, so go back and listen to our first episode for more of that. But a couple of the things that people have said are, it's tough to connect with new people or build up a new relationship. And I think that's like, we struggle with like social cues sometimes and making connections because of our differences. And so I think that can be a difficult side of relationships with ADHD. I have found I tend to only date neurodivergent people. Not saying I'm against dating neurotypical people, but I tend to be more attracted and find have a better time dating neurodivergent people because they also get it. I put ADD in my dating profile, or I put neurodivergent or something like that. And so then that gets people to ask questions. And like puts it out there that like they can understand where I'm coming from. But yeah, I also, even if it's not in there, I seem to just attract other ADHDers somehow. Like I actually was seeing a girl for a bit and she was like, no, I, as far as I know, I'm neurotypical, but like she checks most of the boxes. So yeah, finding other people can be a struggle. Someone's like, I'm the worst at listening and staying focused. And yeah, that can be a hard time when you're trying to have, like you said, this like active listening time with your partner and they are struggling to listen. So maybe it's communicating up front to people. Like I sometimes have a hard time like staying focused and listening. Maybe like if we need to have a more intense conversation, we can do it. Like I can have my fidgets, or I can we can keep it to like shorter conversations, like more short conversations as opposed to like one big long conversation. You know, but yeah, that's definitely great. Like I said, someone just wrote impulsivity.
Many check-ins.
Someone that's else wrote awesome. Geez, I've broke I've broke my heart a few good times. I succeed with women, but mess it up. So it's like a win and a fail. I think a lot of the time we're quite charismatic and we love very strongly. That was actually someone else's positive, that we love so strong. And so in the initial stages of a relationship, I think ADHDers can be like, wow, this exciting, fun, new partner. And we love bomb a little bit sometimes. We're very intense. We're like, here, have all my love and all my things. Until then, again, novelty wears off and then maybe we stop doing the things
when
as intensely.
The partner is the item. When our partner is the item of our attention, you know, they get so much attention from us and we're fulfilling their every need. And then maybe something else catches our attention.
Yeah, they become a hyper-focus.
They can become, and then when that wears off, they can feel like, oh, what happened? Am I not special to them anymore? And I think that that period and that pattern is a good thing to be aware of. To be like, hey, this happens. I see that my hyper-focus is focusing on worms or slugs right now, aka that's you, Addy. You know, maybe you're hyper-focusing on how beautiful slugs are instead of your partner. And, you know, which happens, you know, it totally, totally happens. And then they feel a bit like, oh, what happened to all of the attention that she used to give me? Yeah, that's it. Or, love that slug, Addy.
Maybe.
Love
it. Like in my case, my partner gets me cute slugs because he knows how much I love them. Another thing that someone said is a husband and wife who are
focusing on it.
Someone said a husband and wife who are ADHDers, we lean on each other's strengths. So that's something that I find sometimes with my partner. Yeah, that having someone else who also has ADHD.
Yes.
Is like, okay, yeah, we then see each other's creativity and strengths and stuff.
That's beautiful. Oh, hell yeah. I think we should wrap it up there with all those knowledge bombs. I hope this has been useful for everyone. Check out us on Instagram. We have a beautiful Instagram now, full of knowledge drops, ADHD Explorers. And I hope that you found this episode useful. If you found it super useful, send it to someone. Maybe send it to your partner and your ADHD relationship. And keep loving yourself. And keep loving your strengths. And we will accept all of the random negative bits of ADHD together and grow onward. And I'm very proud of you for listening to this whole episode. We love you very much. So keep smashing life. And we'll catch you in the next one. Lots of love.
Bye, 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 bye.